Morning, everyone. It's time to start our worship service today. It's great to see everybody out, and welcome. Grab a favorite gospel songs, and let's turn to page 33. We'll sing all three verses. Page 33. Amen. Good singing this morning. Let's turn over to page 13. Page 13 for our next number. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Brad. Thankful for the good songs. Thankful for the good singing and the good piano playing this morning to start out our service today. I hope you've had a good week this week. It's been a blessing this week. Although, if you're like me, it's been like, oh, here, no, there we no, let's go this way. That's kind of the way it's felt to me. Even so much so that this morning when I got up, I had to really grab hold of myself to focus on this service today. Do you ever have to do that? You know, you're just coming into a church service and your mind is going here and then it jumps over there and then it gets here. It makes for a restless night if you're trying to sleep, and I don't want to say you need to sleep during church, but the idea is so many times today we have our minds here and there and with this project and that thing and doing those things that we forget about God. And that's what I want us to do today, is to put those things aside for a little while. I know that's hard to do sometimes because it seems like that thing is so important in our mind and in our hearts that, well, we've just got to get it on our heart. And I think I've told this story before. I witnessed a lady one time and she brought a tape recorder. This was years ago. She would bring a tape recorder to church service every Sunday and she would record the preaching part of the service. And which I thought, well, that's a good thing, till I heard why. She says, I'm sitting there in church and I'm thinking, I've got to get dinner done. We've got to get this done and we've got to get that done. She said, I would miss the entire service. You think about that for just a moment and then you think, am I guilty? We've all been there at one time or another. But if we would all focus together and get our minds upon the Lord's service, think what could happen. In the book of Acts, and I think I referred to this a couple of Sundays ago, when the apostles met together, it said that they were in prayer and one accord. And the Spirit came down. The Holy Ghost came down on them. They got baptized in the Holy Ghost, and that was the power of God coming down upon them, that the Lord had promised to them that if they just wait for it, He'd give it to them. And when they got it, they were able to preach. They were able to see the fire of God coming down. And what did they do? 3,000 souls were added to the church that day. What a great meeting that would be. I was reading a little bit of a history lesson this morning about a church, sister church of ours, and how it was organized. And the old preacher was Brother Cap Massey, and what it said that he was pastor of a church in that area, but he felt like he ought to have a revival. And this was back in the early 1900s. And they said when he did, he found a place to have the revival in, and he called a friend, and they came and they preached together for 2 weeks. Said, wasn't much going on. Said, even the other preacher got discouraged and told him he was going back to Lafayette. And when he got back to Lafayette, Brother Massey continued on. You know what happened? They said that people started coming under conviction. Said people started getting saved. Said they wasn't even real sure how many actually got saved that week through the remainder of the revival. Didn't say how long it went on. But it said about that meeting that there got to be thousands of people coming to it. And that they thought at least 100 people got saved through the remainder of that revival. You know, the Lord could show up if we get our hearts right. He could show up in a great big way. And we could see this building full. We could see people getting saved and see great things happen. If we do like the apostles and the early church did, getting our mind off of everything else for a little while. And I believe that's what happened in that revival. Everybody forgot about what was going on and they started worshiping God. And 100 got saved. Thousands of people were coming. That would happened in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Said they only had about 10,000 people that were residents there at that time. But there was thousands of people coming to the meeting. Oh, Lord, what a blessing. And it can still happen today. All right, I need to hush. It's good to see everybody out today. I've rambled enough. We are glad to see everybody here. I do want us to consider those things, and let's get our mind upon the cause of the Lord today. We want to move right along with our service today. Brother Sam will be doing our children's church. We'll turn it over to him at this time.
Good morning. We'll meet over here on this side. How you doing, brother?
Good to see you.
Good. Right over here. Right over here.
Got you a new one coming.
I see that. All are welcome. Good, good, good. Y'all are a good-looking bunch here this morning. A great-looking bunch. Good to see everybody. Y'all ready? We got our ears on. Okay? We got our mouth in neutral and got our ears in gear. Ready? Little quiz. What did we talk about last week? Apparently, I didn't make much of an impression on you. But we talked about, and I thought I'd bring it up again today, the second part about not telling the truth. What is not telling the truth? It's telling a lie, isn't it? Right. And y'all are going to be, I'm much older than y'all. I knew Moses, you know, so. I'm not that old, but you understand that quit laughing. Speaking of knowing Moses, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I need to ignore them. This is y'all's time. But we talked about the truth, okay, and what it means to tell the truth, what it means to know the truth. Remember we talked about, remember we had the $100 bill here? Remember that? You remember that, don't you? It's money, right? But, and how that you could tell it's counterfeit. Remember we talked about that some time ago? Remember that, Ben? Remember we talked about that? You could tell it. Well, y'all are going to be exposed to more lies than I ever knew growing up. When I grew up, it was a lot simpler, okay? But y'all are seeing a lot more lies, not only, you know, in your everyday life, but at school and in life, on television. And hopefully you'll never hear lies in the church. But there's counterfeit doctrines out there that is a lie. And it's heresy, okay? And it's wrong. But it's being preached, okay? But people need to know the difference. Y'all remember who Solomon was? You've heard of Solomon, right? Right, Ben? Who was his dad? We've talked about that. Who was Solomon's dad? His dad was David. Remember David? What did David do? Name something David did. He killed Goliath, right? David and Goliath. Okay, anyway, Solomon said in Proverbs 23:23, listen, look at me. This is where we're going today. He said, buy the truth and sell it not. That's what he said. Buy the truth and sell it not. Now, it doesn't mean you can pull out your checkbook or your money. But it means get the truth, know the truth, understand the truth, and don't bend from it. Don't bend from the truth. Don't go away from the truth, okay? We need to know the truth. If I tell you a lie, listen, if I tell you a lie and you believe it, guess what? It's still a lie. If I tell 50 people a lie and they believe it, it's still a lie. If I tell 5 million people a lie and they believe it, what is it still? It's still a lie. We have to know the truth. And if we didn't have the truth here, I love y'all so much to know that I would want to take you to where we could hear the truth. But I believe with all my heart that it's here. And I'm so glad that y'all are exposed to it. So I want you to understand the truth, know the truth, so help you God. And let's say that first part of that verse if you'll stand up, okay? Everybody stand up, everybody repeat. You ready, Ezra? Ready to shout it from the rooftops? All right, say this, Proverbs 23:23. Buy the truth and sell it not. Thank you. You may go.
Thankful for the kids coming up for our children's church. Appreciate them doing that. We want to invite all the kids to come up. I know many times our young people thinks that, well, I'm too big to go up there with them now. We're not. We all are to enjoy what Brother Sam is teaching there. And you set an example for them to always look for what is being taught by God. So always don't feel that you're too old. Always come up and be a part of our services today. We are ready to go to the Lord in prayer here in just a few minutes. We wondered if anyone has a prayer request on your heart at this time. We had several prayer requests this morning, and I'm probably going to end up getting in trouble because I didn't write them down this morning, but I do know we've lost some loved ones in our family of our church, and so we do need to continue to remember that. We need to remember our sick that is out there. We've got several in the church that have, we'll say, chronic illnesses where that they're not able to come. But we also have those that have temporary sicknesses that it just gets in the way. So let's remember that. We do need to remember each other in prayer. I know Sister Carla is going to be having some surgery, I think, this week. And we need to remember her in our prayers also. Anybody else have a prayer request? And if I've left something out, please do mention them. Go ahead. Yes. Yes, sir. Yes. Lord, here. I think it's very needful. It's not just here. I do want you to know that, church. It's not just here. It's everywhere. But let's don't use that as an excuse. Let's don't use it as an excuse for us. Let's don't do that. Appreciate this. Somebody else? I want to ask everyone to be prayerful for our service today. Make sure you pray for me today. Make sure you pray for me today that I can preach that the Lord would have me to preach today in this service. Somebody else have a prayer request? Let's be about the Lord's business today in this service. We'll call on one to start our prayer, but we want everybody to pray in your own way. I know Brother Sam's done been busy this morning, but Brother Sam, would you start our prayer, please?
Thank you. That song that Mom just played was called Keep On Moving. Keep On Moving in the Gospel Way. Let's try 138. Ladies, we're really going to need your help on the chorus here. 138.
Yeah.
10. A song everyone loves, It Is Well With My Soul. Page 10. Choir, stand please. Let's sing page 76, or we'll never grow old.
Thank you.
follow the Lord. If you have another song, you're not interrupting me, you're interrupting the Lord. If you have a prayer request, you're not interrupting me, you're interrupting the Lord. If you have a testimony, you're not hindering me, by no means. You're hindering the Lord's cause. And that's what I want you to keep in mind this morning. Anybody got anything on your heart this morning? Let's all be about the Lord's business today in this service. We're going to take our reading lesson today from the sixth chapter of the book of Acts. Sixth chapter of the book of Acts is where we're going to take our reading lesson from. I'm giving you just a moment to turn over there because you're going to look at my reading lesson and you're going to say, where is he going? We just pray that this will be what the Lord needs it to be. And we're going to find our thought in this reading lesson today. We're going to read from the sixth chapter of the book of Acts this morning, starting with verse 1. And it says, "And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews." because their widows were neglected in their daily ministration. "And the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." That's reading the first 4 verses of the 6th chapter of the book of Acts of the Apostles today. Usually these verses are read when a church is thinking about ordaining deacons. Maybe it's referred to them in these ways. That's not what our message is going to be about. It's going to be completely different from that thinking. You might say, well, maybe he's going to preach about how they had the Holy Ghost about them. That'd be a good subject, but that's not what the Lord's given us today. We're going back to the first verse, and we're going to pick up one word that is in that first verse, and we're going to study upon this verse, on this word today. And the word here is neglected. Neglected. We're going to use a form of this word, or this word in our message today. That's the thought of the day. Neglected, neglect, or neglected, or neglecting. That's our 3 forms of this word. Do you realize this word is only in the Bible 5 times? I was kind of surprised at that. I would have thought that word neglect in its forms might be in there several times, but it's only in the Bible 5 times. Now we're going to look at, we may look at all 5 times that this verse is, or this word is found in the Bible, but we believe it is necessary today for us to look first here at this word. Neglect, what does it mean? Yeah, I'd say most everybody's got an opinion here. Most of the time we go to Webster's Dictionary for a definition of a word, and that's where I usually go. It is a meaning to give little attention, to leave undone. That's what it means according to Webster. Now, if you want to use a word to kind of get an idea of what a word is, you look at what they call a synonym. Now, I'm not a good word man by no means, but when you look at the word neglect, a word that kind of fits into place is disregard. You disregard something. You may ignore it. Do you know what ignore is? Do you do that? Gentlemen, are we ever accused of ignoring our wives? Didn't need that. Sometimes we overlook. That's another word. Sometimes we just plain forget. All of these have to do with neglecting something. in this day here that the apostles were upon a situation. The situation was that the Grecians were complaining that their widows were being neglected. They were being ignored. They were being overlooked, if you would. They were being forgot about. Have you ever been to a place where you felt like you got forgot about? I've been there several times. Paul and I got to experience that real well yesterday. We were forgotten there for a little bit yesterday. And so we know that feeling that is there about being neglected. You feel like that you have been ignored, or even to the place where they just disregard you. In that day, the Grecians, you could call them, they were the Greek Jews at that time. I believe it was mainly Greek Jews. But these people had gotten saved, but because they were not full-blooded Jews, a lot of times they got pushed aside. They got neglected. Their widows were not being taken care of as well as they should. So they were neglected in that, and there began to be, first of all, there's usually jealousy that goes on. There's hurt feelings that comes into play. And there is those that just get downright angry because they get neglected on something. You see, we're building up a thought today in your mind as to what it means to be neglected. And going here in these scriptures, the apostles, they hit the problem, what you might say, with both feet. We can't take care of these people. It's not for us to think about the widows, the orphans, those that are in need. We've got a great big job in that we're carrying the gospel out here to this church. We are preaching to them about all of these things. So they said, choose you out 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost, that they might take care of these matters. Yeah, they jumped in with both feet. They delegated a group of men to take care of this problem, so that there would be nobody neglected. They did not want them to be neglected. They wanted them to be taken care of in this matter, is what they did. Now, I want us to listen just for a little bit and to think about these words that we're talking about, being ignored, being neglected, being disregarded in these matters here today. Are we ever in a place where that we disregard others? Is there ever a time that we disregard our church? We overlook our church. Is there ever a time that maybe we even go a little bit farther and we disregard or neglect or just plain forget about God? Now, that's kind of where we're going with this message today, but I want us to really look at some things here about this word neglect today. One of the first places that you'll find it in the Bible, if you're going from front to back, is in the 18th chapter of the book of Matthew. It seems to be a little bit of a different word, but we use the word neglect here. It is a verse in which that Jesus is telling his disciples how to handle a situation when that you have a brother that is brought an offense upon his people. And you might say, well, preacher, why are you bringing this in here today? We don't have anybody that's got an offense, but I want us to bring it around for a reason here. It's always good for us to know how to treat an offended brother or a brother that is offending us. It's always needful. I want the young people to know how to handle a situation if somebody's doing you wrong. Now, in this 18th chapter, Jesus taught the church. He was teaching them how to handle this situation. He said, first of all, you go to your brother and you talk to him about it. If he has offended you, you go to him and you talk to him about the matter itself. In the 17th verse is where we want to go to first here. And it says, if he neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. You see, it's important for us to pay attention to those that do neglect to hear us. Now, this word here in the Greek version of this, the original version that our Bible was taken from, the word is parakou. I'm not going to try to spell it, but the word parakou, what it actually meant was to mishear, to disobey is what it means. Now, when we're talking about disregarding or to neglect them, I want you to see what he is saying here in this day. When he said to them, it is important for you to, if you've gone to them and they don't hear you, he said, then you take it to somebody with you, and then you go to them. And if they neglect, if they refuse to obey, if they refuse to hear you in this time, if they even come to the place where that they mishear. Many times, we as people, we have a problem of not hearing correctly. I'm bad at that. I hear people say a sentence, and I think I'll put another word in there. Sometimes I'll get the sentence completely turned around. And because of that, I completely mishear. I had a fella telling me about a situation other night. And as he was talking to me, I understood what he was saying. But the next day he got worried and afraid that I misunderstood him. And he called me back and he says, I want to make sure that you understood what I'm saying. Now, you might say today, what's this got to do with neglecting? Neglecting is making sure that you're doing that right. What God intends for us to do. Making sure that you're not being disobedient. Making sure that you're understanding what God has in store for you in this day. Now, I want us to go to the second chapter of the book of Hebrews for the next place where it says the word neglect. This is a popular verse, and we're going to try to tie this together by the Lord's help today in this message. In the third verse of the second chapter of Hebrews, it says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? First thing is, this word is not the same word, parakou. But I do want to call it to your attention that I want you to understand. I don't want you to misunderstand. I don't want you to be in a state where that you're saying, I didn't understand what you were saying about salvation. What he said here, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Have you ever neglected a possible way out of a problem? Maybe you were in school, maybe you were at work, maybe you had a problem with somebody, maybe you had a situation in which that if you hadn't ignored it or just tried to put it aside, maybe you could have rectified a situation and everything would have been much easier. Brother Sam, in a Sunday school lesson this morning, we were talking about the wartime and how just little efforts changed the ways that they did, the way things happened. And he had an incident from early in World War II. The one that popped up in my mind was a situation involving George Washington. You remember him? He was the leader of our military army during the Revolutionary War. He was also the first president of these United States. Do you realize there was a situation on one time in which that Washington was in the midst of a battle, and there was a soldier who leveled his gun at George Washington and pulled the trigger. He was a dead shot, but the gun misfired. When he reloaded and put it up on George Washington again, my understanding of the story was he fired but missed. And a third time, he missed again. I think I'm telling the story pretty close to right. Now, Brother Sam said about the situation he talked about, God intervened. In that situation, it was always understood God intervened for this country, that George Washington should survive, that he should be the leader that he was, and that he would be the first president of these United States. God intervened. But what about if we had neglected those things? What if somebody hadn't said, let's put George up there as our president? What if somebody had said, let's don't fight this battle? Maybe somebody had said these things would not happen. Now, I'm going to tell you my neglecting story. I hadn't planned on using this until this morning. It kind of got back in my head. You know that I had the accident a couple weeks ago where that the deer ran out in front of me. One of the things that I didn't tell you, and I told Paula about it after I got home, when I got in the car that night fixing to go to Bible study, the Lord gave me a warning about that deer. Now, you're going to kind of think this is a little funny, but when the car came on, there was a radio program on, and it was two gentlemen talking, and as they were talking, they were traveling on a trip, and just as I said, I've had enough of this, I'm changing the station, and I reached to hit the button to go to another station, and the guy started screaming, deer, deer, deer. And I went, huh? Apparently they were hitting the deer as I was changing station. Went on for about 4 miles, and when I got up to a certain area there, all of a sudden that story hit my mind again. Deer, deer, deer. Less than 1 mile later, that deer ran out in front of me. What did I do? I neglected the warning of God. I did. He told me, there's a deer coming. I'm of the opinion God warned me about those things. I've had him to do that for me at different times in my life. One of my favorite stories was when I was a teenager, I was on my way to a ball game. I was like a teenager. Don't do this. I was scooting along very fast and rounding curves, and all of a sudden it hit me, what's your hurry? And I thought, well, I don't have to be in a hurry. And I just backed off a little bit, and I rounded the next curve, and there was a tractor trailer truck sitting across the road. I missed a bluff that much because I was turned and I went into the bluff. I missed it about that much. I jerked it back and I stopped looking off a 10-foot bank into a creek. 5 mile an hour made a big difference because I did not neglect what the Lord had done, told me was coming up. You see, how can we neglect so great a salvation is the verse that we're looking at. How can we disregard how God works with us? Now, you may not agree with me as far as God talking to us and helping us in these situations, but I believe he does. I've witnessed it so many times. I can find it in the scripture, but I want you today to really look at what you are neglecting today in this service. I want you to think about if it was you and you knew you had a great danger in front of you today. Maybe you didn't think about a wreck happening. Maybe you didn't think about turning the stove off. Maybe you didn't think about doing something else. But all of a sudden, there was that warning that came to you, and you thought, No, that they don't need to be paying attention to that. Do you disregard the warning that's there? How do you neglect so great a salvation is the verse here. The apostles had neglected those people. The Lord told them not to neglect to take somebody with them. But if they neglect to hear you, go on to them and then let them hear from the church. He said to them, don't neglect the cause of God, is what he's telling them. How shall ye escape if ye neglect so great of a salvation today? I want you to think about that today. If you were on your way somewhere and a great earthquake happened, have you seen those movies where they'll show an earthquake happening and there's all of a sudden there's a big cavern, it opens up, and you see that cavern that's coming up. If you just decide, it don't matter, it's just a figment of my imagination, it's a figment of everybody else's imagination, I'll just go on, it's not there. What are you doing? You're neglecting what you are seeing to be true. You're ignoring that thing. You're disregarding what is there. Now, as you're looking today at this salvation that we're talking about, he said to them, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by them that heard them. Now, I want to get in. First of all, the Lord's done told us about this great salvation. He started out with Adam and Eve. He talked to them about them. He talked about it with Abraham, for an example. He told him in his seed all nations would be blessed. He talked to them about the destruction that was coming to them. But if they disregarded those things, if they neglected those things, what could have happened? He said, and was confirmed to us by them that heard them. You see, God told us about his plan of salvation. He confirmed it in Adam and Eve. He confirmed it in Abraham. He confirmed it in Isaac and Jacob. He confirmed it, and what I mean by confirmed, he witnessed it through them. They told us of these things. And even all the way through the prophets and Moses, all of these things are what the Bible calls a so great a cloud of witnesses that are telling you about this salvation that's here. It's been confirmed to you. You see, today, each one of us that's been saved, when we tell about being saved, we're trying to confirm it to you today. We're telling you it's true. We're telling you that it's surely possible for you to be saved. We don't want you to neglect this plan of salvation. We don't want you to be avoiding it. We don't want you to ignore it. We don't want you just to say, well, it's not for me. It's not for me. It won't happen to me. I want you to understand today what this scripture here is telling you is to be careless of. This word here, neglect, is a careless act. That's what it's talking about. Careless has two meanings, you might say. If you're careless, you don't care. But the other word for careless or other meaning of careless means to disregard, and it also means to not have, take, or not to take care. Not to take it into full consideration. He's wanting you to take it fully into your mind. Not to ignore it, but to take it fully into your mind is what he's wanting you to do. So with the confirmation, many people will say today, well, how do I know Jesus is alive. I watched a small video the other day on how do we know that Jesus is real. And I listened to their ways that he said Jesus is real. But my best explanation of it is this. I know he's real because he lives here. He lives in my heart. And that's the confirmation that you have, is that we testify of his goodness. And you might say, well, that's not very good in my mind to think about how that these things are. It's not very good in our minds. But the fact of the matter is, if you neglect this salvation, I just think how little my neglect was in paying attention to the Lord and that deer. Think about it. How little that was. But how great that it could be for you to neglect this salvation. Think about that today. Now, I want to move just a little bit further because it's important for us to take the other side of this so great a salvation. Because many times we as church members, we as saved individuals, do we take it for granted this plan of salvation? Oh no, I thank the Lord every time I get down to pray for my salvation. I'm not neglecting that. Well, no, I'm not neglecting that salvation. I'm so thankful that Jesus died on the cross for me. I'm not neglecting that. Oh, I'm not neglecting the fact that God gave us the plan of salvation as it was. Now, I want to give you the fourth place that we're going as far as where this word is used, and you'll find it in the fourth chapter of 1 Timothy. The fourth chapter of 1 Timothy, and Timothy is a special book to me because in this book, Paul is talking to Timothy, a young preacher, and Paul says he is his son in the ministry here. So he is encouraging him how to preach the gospel, how to handle a church, how to deal with people and their arguments that they have. He is talking to them about these things. Now, right here in this verse, he says there's going to be people that's going to look at you, Timothy, and they're going to say, you're too young to tell me about God. I've got more knowledge than you do. But I want you to listen to what he says in the 13th verse. Paul says, till I come, give attention to reading. Reading what? The scripture. He didn't want him to read the classics, we'll say. He didn't want him to read this thing and that thing, but read what the scripture said. Then he says, to exhortation. And if you don't know exactly what exhortation is, it is a type of what I do up here each Sunday. But it's not preaching. And it's not limited to preachers. It's you talking to people about God. It's about you proclaiming what you've been reading in the Word of God. I'd say every one of you that have studied this Word of God, you know what much of it means, especially about the plan of salvation. And it's you proclaiming what God can do for an individual for salvation. Notice he says next, to doctrine. Doctrine is what we as God's people believe. It's what Jesus taught us to believe. And Paul was telling Timothy, don't neglect the reading of the scripture. Don't neglect the exhortation, telling people about it. Don't neglect the doctrine that is there. Now, what he says, 14th verse, neglect not the gift that is in thee. Yes, you have a gift today. You have a gift. What is your gift? I'm not going to answer that. I know some of you's gifts, what I think it is. But you have a gift today. And you have the ability to use that gift. Whether it's singing, leading singing, playing the piano. Maybe it's you being in that seat each and every Sunday. Maybe it's your prayers that you pray for the pastor. Maybe it's the prayers that you pray for one another. Maybe it's the gift that you have of speaking up when that you stand. Now, the gift that he was given was the ability to do the work of God by the laying on of hands. Basically, he was ordained to preach the word of God. He was ordained to carry out the ordinances of the church. But what I want you to see here today, it was needful that Paul tell Timothy, don't neglect what God has given you to do. It's very easy for us to neglect so great a salvation. Is it? Oh, preacher, I haven't forgot about it. I didn't. But I'm going to ask you, have you told somebody? That's your gift. The opportunity to tell somebody what Jesus did for you. The opportunity to tell what's in these scriptures. The opportunity to stand for the doctrine. The opportunity just to do for God. He said, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy and with laying on of hands of the presbytery. Now, I want you to get this part because I want you to take this because it says meditate. Meditate upon these things and give it yourself wholly unto these things. We're talking about neglecting things. I listen to a man from time to time, and he says, if you have a problem in your marriage, it's up to you to change your marriage. He says, if you're not paying close attention to your wife, he said, you better start paying attention to your wife. If we are neglecting this plan of salvation, if we are failing to show individuals about this plan of salvation, if we are failing to warn them of this salvation that's available, if we are failing to tell people about the impending doom that is coming upon them. Do you realize in this day and age that most of the people of the United States today do not believe in a literal hell? They don't believe in a literal hell. Why? Well, preacher, you didn't tell them. I agree, I hadn't told them enough. But did you see them first? Did you see them first? Did you have the opportunity first? I've used this before here, and I like this analogy. If it was a great big sinkhole opened up right out here in front of the church, I'm talking about 50 foot wide, round, we'll say. Would we not run out here into the road and try to stop every car that was trying to come down through there? If you got word that one of your loved ones had somebody that was so angry with them that they were planning on bringing a gun and killing them, would you not try to warn them? We're talking about an impending doom that is coming upon individuals today. And what are we neglecting to do? He said, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them that thy profiting may appear to them. In other words, we're to show them the truth so much that it is profitable in their minds. It's profitable to them. He said, take unto heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue them, for in doing this thou shalt save thyself and them that hear you. As we think about neglecting something today, ladies, you that have children, if you neglected your child, what I mean is, if you failed to feed them, how many of you, and I'm not asking for a show of hands, but how many of you would feel, oh, I'm inadequate, I haven't done what I should? How many of you would feel that, well, I've done wrong? How many of you would expect someone to come and say, you need to do better? How many of us would expect God to tap on our hearts and ask us to do better? All right, let's go back to Matthew. I'm fixing to be done, though, Brother Brad. Why are we going back to Matthew? If you have a fault with your brother and he hear you not, and you take with you one or two witnesses, and he hear you or he neglect to hear you, then he said, take it to the church. Well, the Lord has done knocked on our hearts. All right, you neglected to hear me. I'm bringing you some witnesses. That's different preachers. Hey, that's Brother so-and-so over here. That's Sister so-and-so is talking about what we need to be doing. He said, take it to the church. And if they hear not them, if they neglect them, you see, the idea is we've got something that we're neglecting. We're telling sinners not to neglect this salvation. We're telling them that they need to get saved. We need to prove it to them. Brother Brad, that's going to be my message today. Thank you for your attention. All rise, if you would, please.
So Psalms 278. 278.